7 of Mark chapter 16. The word of the Lord reads, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you." In all four books, first four books of the New Testament, the account of the resurrection of Jesus is recorded. It's recorded in Matthew 28, here in Mark 16, Luke 24, and in John chapter 20. The accounts in Luke and John mention two angels, if you'll remember. If you don't remember, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to read it when you get home. It mentions two angels being present at the tomb of Jesus. In Matthew and Mark, We only read of one. And if you do a lot of searching, when you find things like that in the Bible, you'll find that some believe it to be that there must be a mistake in one of the accounts. And I'd encourage us to consider another avenue. And that is, even though in Luke and John, two angels are mentioned, in the account of Matthew and Mark, it does not say that there was only one there. It doesn't say that. It just tells you of the account of their interaction with one of the angels. And it would be very similar to if I was having a conversation with the deacons of the church, if I was talking to Brother Sam and Brother Lloyd and Brother Bruce, and during the course of that conversation, I directed my comments directly to Brother Lloyd. And I told Brother Lloyd something directly, even though it was a conversation where we were all present. I told Brother Lloyd something directly. And when I gave an account of that conversation later on, I said, I told Brother Lloyd this. And whenever I spoke about the account in another place, I said, I told the deacon brethren this. Did I give a miss? Was there an error in my recounting of what took place? No. It's just one gives different detail. I think it's very important to mention that. And here in the book of Mark, where our thoughts are this morning, if the Lord would be with us, I'd like to speak on five different points that the angel told these sisters that had gathered at this tomb this day. I don't think that you'll find these five specific points exactly as I outline them in the other accounts, but certainly in general the principle is given of the message of this angel to those ones who had come to this tomb early in the morning. They came to prepare his body with spices. And upon arrival at this particular tomb that he was buried in, where they knew where this tomb was, they didn't find the body of the Lord, but they saw this angel there. You know, at times in our life, sometimes we may be on a path to achieve something. And it could be well-meaning, just as well-meaning as these sisters were in doing this particular act this day. And I don't know about you, but my personal account of my life is that many times what I had in mind to do sometimes doesn't play out. What I sought to do and what I thought that I was going to do sometimes always doesn't play out just like I thought it was. But I can give specific accounts that even when I didn't think that things were going to play out exactly like I thought it would, that the Lord has comforted me with a messenger. And that the Lord has sent His presence to me in the form of a messenger, which is what an angel is in this particular context. He's a heavenly messenger. If you'll remember over in the book of Revelation, whenever the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the Apostle John, but this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, He calls the pastors, I believe, of those seven churches that He wrote unto, He called them angels. That means that the minister of the gospel is supposed to wear wings and is supposed to be adorned in white and, you know, is supposed to bear the image that a lot of people think about whenever you think of an angel. That's what that means. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that according to the office that the Lord has appointed, the gospel minister is supposed to be a messenger from heaven to the Lord's people. He is supposed to deliver unto them the will of God. Whether it be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of what the Lord did for them, whether it be warning about things that could happen should they not change, both of those come from God. They come. He's a heavenly messenger. Well, I want to tell you, little child of grace, this day, here were sisters that had come
and they sought the presence of Jesus. And whenever they came to this tomb, they may not have saw Jesus, but Jesus didn't leave them without. He sent a messenger unto them. And this angel was there present whenever they came forth, and he spoke some things unto them that I don't think just apply to them. I think we can take them and we can use them as well. The first thing that he told them is to be not afraid.
He says in verse 6, and he saith unto them, be not afraid.
You know, these sisters, as they were coming forth to this place, they were already concerned about the next task at hand. You know, I'm guilty of that. I have trouble living in the moment. You know, that's what I wish I could do more of. You know, every once in a while when I do it, I'm like, man, that was pretty interesting just to let it flow and just to live in the moment. But as soon as I catch myself doing it, I go back to what my comfort zone is, and that is, what's the next obstacle in the path? Whenever I'm on, we just spent 4 nights in hotels and 4 days eating in restaurants. I told Alice, I said, if you'll please cook some beans and rice and cornbread on Monday so that I can eat just some normal food. We have eaten more Italian spicy food than I can take. But we spent 4 nights in hotels. Whenever we would arrive and go ahead, you know, right now we may, there's ones who have had as many children as we have right now, and they're fixing to have more. The more you have, the more that hotel trip. I'm going to tell you now, getting the luggage to the room, the quantity of luggage increases and the number of feet that you got to keep out of the highway and out of the parking lot and out of wherever to try to get that luggage to a room. You know what I'm doing while I'm unpacking? I'm already worried about how I'm going to get it down from the room back in there. You know, it's already on my mind. I'm like, man, we're going to be leaving early in the morning. And they got, at the last one we stayed at, they had 3 people working at a hotel that probably had about 150 rooms in it. I knew they were all going to be leaving at the same time we were, and there's not going to be enough carts. It's crossed my mind at times to keep that cart in the room with us while we were even staying there, so that whenever I get ready to leave, I don't have to come stand in line for it. I can just keep it there. Well, you know, these sisters, they're already worried about the next thing in line. They're already thinking about the challenge that lies before them. And the challenge before them was, how are we to remove this stone? Well, I tell you, it's just the same way that a lot of challenges that lie before us. And it doesn't mean that we don't think about the challenge that lies before us. But the Lord already took care of it. He sent an angel to remove that stone. A great earthquake took it out of the way so that they could witness something that was marvelous there that day. And whenever they witnessed that stone had been removed, and whenever they walked in and they saw what had taken place, and that is that Jesus was no longer laying there, his message unto them was, be not afraid. And I tell you, little Lamb of God, that message is just as true today as it was whenever that angel spoke, and that is to fear not, and that is that the Lord is on your side, and the Lord is with you. You know, one of the things that comes into the heart and in the mind of the child of God upon rebirth is condemnation. They're condemned for their sins. Before, no matter what they did, disturbed them. It didn't. The only thing that disturbed them was the thought of getting caught. That's the description of the wicked. Their sins do not disturb them. Do we understand that? It doesn't bother them. They don't have a conscience. They don't have something that says, oh, boy, that was wrong. Man, I feel bad that I did that. I know I did this to that one, but it didn't bother me. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't know. It doesn't bother them a bit. They're not condemned as the child of God is upon the commitment of sins. But whenever the Lord gives them life and they see themselves for the sinners that they are, oh, that they receive the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to be not affrighted and to fear not the evidence that you belong to God and that He paid for those sins that you now feel condemned for is given forth in the idea that you even feel condemned. And I'm here to tell the little Lamb of God today, fear not. There is therefore now no new condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because He paid for your sins. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. You see, we don't excuse sin. We just remind people that Jesus put away sin. We just remind them that Jesus saved them from their sins to the condemnation that they feel within themselves. You know, He says, be not afraid. You know, you remember the reaction sometime that those who heard Jesus preach had. Have thou come to torment us before the times? Is what one stood up and said in Mark chapter 1. Whenever they heard the truth, whenever they heard what Jesus did for them, that man had an unclean spirit in him. And I tell you, Jesus removed that unclean spirit from him. That unclean spirit is still present in the child of God today. And that is that whenever they hear the truth sometimes of the Lord, because it's in contradiction to those things that they've always heard, they fear it. Poor Sister Allison has to be made an example of so many times, but I've mentioned this here before. But I remember when I mentioned to her and showed her what the Primitive Baptists believe about election and about predestination. And she brought that piece of paper back to me. And she said, I've never heard of this and never heard these terms, and they scare me to death. But I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, this morning, I want to tell you about a doctrine of election whereby God chose you. He chose to love you before the foundation of this world. And because He chose to love you before the foundation of this world, this message still stands true today. Be not affrighted. Fear not. He loves you. Predestination is not something to fear. He predetermined the destiny that you would be at home with Him, that you would go to glory with Him. Be not affrighted. Fear not. You know, even though those ones stood up in the midst, had thou comes to torment us before the time, because here came a man preaching the things unto them that they came preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He removed those spirits from them. And I tell you, I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can still do the same today. Be not affrighted. Fear not. The second thing that He tells them is that ye seek Jesus.
He says in verse 6, He says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He said, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus.
Yes.
You know, I guess we could poll everybody, and whether or not everybody told us really the case is, or really the true answer is, will be up to them, I guess, but why'd you come to church today? You know, it could be, Brother Will, I was wondering if you was going to wear that same tie that you like to wear about once a month. You know, I doubt that's the case. I didn't come here to see what you're wearing. I doubt you came here to see what I was wearing. At least that's what I tell myself whenever I leave those 50 that I've got that I never wear out, pick the one out that I wear all the time, and that is, they don't remember what you wear. I'm sure you don't. Could have come to see the children play. And I love to see it. I believe it's a spiritual sight. I'd love to see each and every one of them play. Oh, would to God I'd be gray-headed, coming in here on a cane, having laid aside this duty, just enjoying somebody else doing it, watching these children play. It's a beautiful sight. But I can't tell you that's the reason why I came, because you know what? The children may not be here. Would I say that if I come to see the children, if the children are not here, then I have to say that I'm not going. It's not the reason why. I believe the reason why we come to the house of God is the same reason why these three sisters came to that tomb this morning, is because we seek Jesus. Amen. This world's worn on me this week. It's worn on you. And a lot of times, even though I know there's things that may be in your mind and I'm thinking the same things, I'm not going to come here and drag you down with them. I'm not going to come here and mention to you about things that break my heart, things that I know are breaking yours too. I'm not going to do it, because what we have come to do is we seek Jesus. I came to be in the presence of God. I came to sing unto Him. I came to try to tell you a little bit more about Him. And I tell you, one of the more beautiful messages about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one that's mentioned here in this text. Is they came seeking Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there because He's risen. And I tell you, little Lamb of God, that best gospel message is true today, and that is that our Lord did not die. He's not in that tomb. You know, how many times do we hear on modern documentaries today that they found the tomb of Jesus? There's bones in there. I'm going to tell you, there's no bones in the tomb of Jesus. There's no bones in that tomb. He told them, He said, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus, but He's risen. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel
which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Oh, I want to tell you about a Savior that death was not victorious over. Death did not wipe His presence clean. Death magnified who this man was, because he wasn't just a man. He was God in the flesh. He was God-man, and He overcame death. And because He overcame death, you and I have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that He brought us out of a state of death and trespasses and in sins. Because He overcame death and came up out of that tomb, but God raised Him from the dead. I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, your final ending will not be in this ground. It'll be in glory with the Lord, because He can overcome death. He's going to bring you up out of that tomb. You ever thought about a Bethel spot where you said goodbye to so many people before? Of loved ones. You know, I listened to Sister Allison's great uncle one time. He commented about how he had visited the cemetery up the road from where I grew up. Sister Allison grew up on the other side of the county from me, but she was almost my neighbor. She may not have married me if she'd lived real close to me, because her grandpa grew up just over U.S. Highway 221 from where I grew up. His ancestors were members of the church that I grew up in. His mom and daddy were. Now, they left that faith and went into another faith. But not only were we almost neighbors, we could have attended the same church growing up, I guess. But he commented how he walked in that cemetery where my family members are buried. And he passed and gone now. But he commented about how many friends he had that were buried there. And as we go on through life, there's more and more of our friends that are over on the other side than there are on this side. But I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, death does not end it. Death is just the beginning of life everlasting. Because not only do you, upon death, your soul and spirit go home to be with the Lord. One of these days, that body is coming out of that ground. That same body that went in it. It's not going to be the same body, because it's going to be glorified. But it's going to be the same body that went into that ground. We'll reunite with that soul and that spirit. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, just as Jesus was. He's risen. He's risen. Amen. Jesus overcame death. Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus. Yeah. But He's risen. Now He gives them a charge. He says, fear not. Ye seek Jesus, but He's risen. He says in verse 7, but go your way and tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. I remember one time I attended church somewhere, and it was Easter morning, and the minister had an Easter message that morning, and I didn't know a whole lot at the time and still don't, but I knew no more now than I did then. And his whole message was about running and telling. I remember him doing the motions, running and telling. Go tell the world that Jesus is risen. And I said, you left out a word there. I know that one of them says world. The account, I think, in Matthew says world. That doesn't mean world without end. He narrowed it down here. He said, you go and you tell His disciples. And there's some qualifications that must be met for one to be a disciple. For one to be a disciple, he's first got to be a child of God. One's not going to follow God and live a disciplined life in following Jesus unless he's already a child of God. Well, here the charge was that He's risen. You go and you tell His disciples. You know, I think that one of the things that we need to make sure that we do is that we tell His disciples that He's risen. You know, if I ask you this morning, and I put a challenge to those of you with young children, have you spoken to your family about Jesus' resurrection this week?
Have you? You know, a lot of people say, well, this is a charge for us to be evangelistic, Brother Will. You know, evangelism is just as well in the home as it is anywhere else. And so many times people worry too much about the person next door than they do the person in the doors of their house. And I understand that the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And I've tried whenever the Lord has opened up a door to try to do so. And I wouldn't discourage you whenever the Lord opens up a door for you doing the same thing. But I tell you, one of the main challenges and one of the main things that you can do in your walk with the Lord is to speak to those who you have direct influence over to go and tell His disciples that Jesus is risen. You know, you got... While your children are under a certain age, they really don't have a choice about something, do they? You know, Brother Ronnie Loudermilk likes to joke about how he was drugged as a kid. He drugged the church. he said, I grew up being drugged. I was drugged to church. Well, you know what? While you're bringing them, I'm not telling you that you can give them life. You can't give them eternal life. The Lord does that. But you know, there are some things even you can do if the Lord hadn't dealt with them in that way. Right here where I stand today, Elder Heath Williams preached a sermon from the 23rd Psalm about 3 years ago, I believe. And he said, you know, you can't give them life, but one thing you can do is prevent a bunch of the filth of this world from being in their mind that whenever the Lord does give them life, that they've got to remove so much filth in order to be able to absorb these scriptures. That is one thing that you can do. And whenever I see the countenance and the love on a lot of these children's face, I wouldn't have anybody tell me that they don't belong to God. I can tell you that. I wouldn't suffer to hear it. Would y'all? I wouldn't want to hear it. I'd say, who are you to say that? And while you're bringing them here, it's a good opportunity to remind them to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. See, to this world, it's foolish. You know, to this world, a lot of things are foolish. We went to the Ark on Wednesday. And the Ark exhibition in Williamstown, Kentucky. And it's something to behold. It is. But you know, I didn't arrive as an unbeliever. I arrived believing that God gave Noah the instructions and Noah built an ark. And you know, like we do everywhere we go, sometimes we offer our critique when we get back in the car. And one of the things I told Allison, I said, it's geared towards an unbeliever that doubts that God was able to do this. That's what this museum, it still doesn't mean I would discourage going, but it's geared towards someone who would doubt that somehow God is able to accomplish these things. He spoke the world into existence. We are here by His very voice. He can bless a man to build an ark, to gather the clean and the unclean upon it, and to be saved from His judgment upon this world. He is God. And who are we to question what He is able to do? He's God. It's geared towards it. A dead man coming back to life. Now I want to tell you, they won't ever make an exhibition of that. Man won't. Man won't ever be able to make an exhibit that displays this power, a manifestation of the power of God. But I want to tell you, I believe it. And I want to tell you, if anybody wants to hear me talk about it for long enough, that I pray they may not leave agreeing with me, but I pray that they leave knowing that I believe what I have said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that He was God manifested in the flesh. He didn't become God when He ascended to sit on the right hand of God. He's been God for all eternity. He is the eternal Son of God the Father. And He came and lowered Himself and lived as a man here for 33 and a half years. He died on that cross. He was put in a tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, when these sisters came to that tomb, they did not find His body because He was risen from the dead. And He's alive today. Amen. He's alive today. He didn't just raise that day to die again. No, He's risen and He's alive. He's risen and He's alive. Go and tell His disciples. And then He says where He went. See, of course, it was some time after the resurrection of Jesus that He ascended back to heaven. He had fellowship with His disciples and with the saints after His resurrection. And here, this angel tells them where He went.
He says, but he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. You know, the Apostle Paul commented in Philippians chapter 3 that he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, some people would say resurrection is just a doctrine to comfort you when you die. No. That resurrection is a doctrine to live by, that I may know it and the power of his resurrection. This angel told him to fear not. You seek Jesus, but he's risen. Go and tell the disciples. And then he told them where to go. But there's a place where you can experience the resurrection of Jesus. You can live. He told them, he's in Galilee. He's there. You believe he's still in a place today where you can go and visit him? Believe he is. You know, Psalm 63. I'll say this in closing. The 63rd Psalm was most likely written at a time when David was very downtrodden because Doeg had slain the household of the priest that gave him the sword when he had departed the presence of Saul. And he spoke unto the remaining member of that house. And if I can get to here, I can tell you his name. But even if I don't get to it, it'll be okay. But Abiathar was his name. And he was the only one that had escaped and fled and gotten out of there when Saul had issued this punishment to this house. And David's words in 1 Samuel chapter 22 to this young person was, I have occasioned the death of all thine house. Don't you know he felt bad? Don't you know it was weighing heavy on him to hear this? His whole house had been slain because this one's father had given him a sword whenever he departed the presence of Saul, when Saul was angry at him. And he gave him a sword. And because he had assisted David in his departure, Saul had slain his whole house, this whole priest's household. David's down whenever this psalm is written. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry land, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He sought God because of the elements in which he lived. He needed God. And his desire in verse 2, he said, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David said there was a place where he saw God. He saw God there. He says, if I have seen thee. He didn't say you. He said thee. Singular. Where he met with God. I tell you, little Lamb of God, the scriptures tell us that this angel told them to go to Galilee. There's Jesus.
I'm not telling you that somehow because Jesus was in Galilee, that he was not in heaven as well, watching over and protecting his children.
That's one of the mysteries of God.
That he was in heaven and earth at the same time.
Yeah.
But this angel told him specifically about the place where Jesus was, where they could see him. If you've come seeking Jesus, you've come to the place where he is, and to a place where he's promised to be until his return. And the messenger of the Lord, his message is the same today. I wouldn't be able to find Galilee. If you could probably give me a map. And I don't know if I'd be able. First of all, I don't want to go to Galilee. I don't have a desire to go over there. I've been to Kentucky and Ohio. And I could see Indiana from where I was. And it may not work out for me to ever actually go across that bridge and step foot on Indiana. And you know what? I will not lay on my deathbed and say, boy, I wish I'd have seen Indiana. I won't go to Galilee. Oh, I want to go to the place where Galilee is now. I'm thankful to be here today. If the Lord would bless me with another week to live, I want to come back here next week and the next and the next. Because I believe he's still here. And I believe there's still a place where you can see him. Praise be unto the Lord that this comfort was given unto these three sisters. They may not have come and arrived there at this place and saw what they thought they were going to see. But this messenger still had a good message for them. And that is to fear not that you seek Jesus, but he's risen. Go and tell his disciples and go down to Galilee where he was. May the Lord bless us to apply these same words that this angel has given this day into our lives. I thank you for your counsel and attention this morning.
To our Redeemer's glorious name awake.
Breathe.